Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. My name is Pete Donaldson, and once again, it is my honour, privilege, and pleasure to be joined by one Mr. Christopher Tilley. Yeah, I met.
I'm great. Yeah, thank you for having me, Pete. I always love talking to you.
You have a very gentle manner about you on a podcast, and you're a little bit more robust in real life.
Is that right?
Forthright. You have a very gentle manner. I'm not sure which Tilley I like more. Is it the Christopher Tilley of the podcast or Christopher Tilley in real life? I'd like a mixture of the two, quite frankly.
So you think I'm, oh God, I think I was pretty horrible last week's Clash of the Titles towards the end. The quiz got pretty unpleasant, so.
The quiz always gets unpleasant because there's a lot of competitive people in there and there's a couple of people in there that are silly billies as well. So
what they don't know is that I now do the quiz every week. So Vicky and Alex go against each other. What they don't know, and they'll only find out if they listen to this, is I've actually been keeping score between them and I've bought a trophy, which I'm going to hand to one of them at the end of this year.
No, I mean, you realise it's getting... If you're doing it face-to-face, COVID allowing, in the next few months, and you give them their trophy, if it's not Alex, he will snap the trophy. Oh. So you need to be careful. You need to carry a knife or a weapon to defend yourself.
He does get angry, doesn't fantastic. He?
He does get angry, but... No, I think Vicky gets angry sometimes about the nuts and bolts of the competition more than Alex just gets angry because he's got one wrong or something.
Alex gets angry if a film he likes doesn't get voted the best film at the end of the episode. He'll throw his toys out the pram. One week, he purposely...
That's why it's a good show. That's why it's a good show.
One week, he purposely picked bad films for the next week to punish me and Vicky. not realising he's punishing himself because he had to watch those shit films as well.
Fantastic. So one of the things you do at Clash Pod on Twitter is you give a little movie clue about the movie you're going to be featuring on the Clash of the Titles that week. I've not looked at this week's, so maybe I can have a crack at the ones you've chosen this time.
Yeah,
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday, so the episode will be out where they get announced. So the clue on the episode last week was Oscar winners in orbit. And the clue on Twitter was time is not a flat circle.
Oh, right. Oscar winners. What's the one about the mining? There's a few Oscar winners in there, aren't there? The mining and the I think you featured it in Clash of the Titles once. It's about these space miners who, miners like the people who cut the rock rather than children. And they, and instead of taking... clever people who can be taught to mine, they take up miners who could be taught to be clever.
You're talking about Armageddon.
Armageddon.
That is such a weird way to describe. You meant the meteorite movie, is what you should have said.
Yeah, but you said
the miner movie.
No,
the clue is...
What's good is there?
Do you know where the quote, time is a flat circle, comes from?
It sounds like it might be like,
It's True Detective.
It's True Detective. Oh, is it? Right.
And
okay.
Matthew McConaughey says it several times. Right. And Matthew McConaughey is the big clue because he's an Oscar winner who's in both of these science fiction films.
Yes, he goes through his daughter's bookshelf.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's
that one.
It's Interstellar.
The bookshelf Space Boy. Interstellar, aka Interstellar.
And then Contact is the other one where Jodie Foster is the Oscar winner in Contact. And they're really super similar, those two films.
Yes. Well, Contact is one of those films that I've always gone, oh, I fancy that, and I've never bloody watched it. But all I can think of is Jodie Foster's face and some big receiving satellite dishes. That's all I've got.
It's an emotional roller coaster, that one, and I really recommend it. I'm hoping a few people will watch that for the first time because I think everyone's seen Interstellar. But hopefully, as I said on the last episode, I'm sure it's going to mean 2 hours of Alex doing impressions of Matthew McConaughey. And I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, you're going to have a stinker. Even I can do an impression of Matthew McConaughey. Everyone's got a McConaughey on the go. Wasn't he involved in The Athletic? Wasn't he one of the people who put a bit of money into the celebrated and football and NFL and NBA kind of venture out in the US?
Potentially. Well, you know that I go to Austin, Texas a lot. He has just built a football stadium there. Not personally. I think he paid people to build it.
Right.
But yeah, he's launching Texas's first professional football team. It was supposed to be this season, but with COVID, maybe it's been pushed back. But yeah, and that's completely him and his wife own the football team.
As in soccer team, yeah?
Soccer team, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, right.
I call it football. I call it football, Pete. I'm
just worrying about their. I'm just worrying about the left back and left. Who are they gonna find to fill those positions? Left back or left wing?
Is this a joke?
Yep.
Don't get it.
Because they'll be all right.
What?
They'll be all right. They'll be all right.
It was actually a good joke.
Oh, it was a good joke in the end. I just couldn't find a way of expressing it properly. Anyway, shut up about your bloody films. I'm going to talk about a fucking dentist. Check this news story out from like ages ago. Yonks. Decades. Right? This came up a few days ago and I cannot stop thinking about it. This happened in Detroit back in, I think, the 80s. A 15-year-old boy went to his dentist. Right, with a demand for him to remove his permanent braces. Obviously, it's quite a traumatic experience getting braces, and I didn't enjoy my time with fixed braces. It was bloody painful and bloody horrible, and I looked like a big silly. This 15-year-old boy went to the dentist demanding the dentist remove his braces, and so much so that he pulled a loaded 45 caliber automatic pistol at the dentist. The orthodontist, Norman Castens, ordering him to remove the braces immediately. And the dentist did exactly that. Apparently, the boy had gone to loads of dentists in the area asking them to remove his braces. Nobody would do it for him. And then he turned up with a gun and threatened the dentist to
remove
his braces.
Well, I read that. It says the boy had apparently asked other dentists in the area to remove his braces before visiting Castens' office. Did he leave a trail of dead dentists in his wake?
I'm thinking,
they don't make it clear if he was pulling the gun on all these dentists or not.
Yeah, exactly. So why would you go to a new dentist, just go to the first dentist twice and bring a gun the second time? It doesn't make any sense. I had him in the chair and he leaned over and he pulled the gun out of his pocket and said, "Would this make you change your mind?" And I said, "Yes, Carsten."
Well, I pissed my pants.
Yeah, so incredible. He wasn't pointing the gun at the dentist while he was doing it, but the youth sort of decided to just put it on his lap for a little while. So interesting. A dental assistant overheard the conversation and called the police, and then he got arrested.
Well, the gun went off though. There was a struggle.
Did it? Oh, yes, it did.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, in the scuffle, the boy grabbed a detective's gun, causing it to discharge into the floor. So it got pretty serious.
It seems a little bit much, doesn't it? We're all a bit silly when we're that age.
But he
really wanted his braces off.
Did you say this was from the 1980s, this article?
Maybe it looks like the 1980s. I don't know when this happened. I just don't think it really matters.
Because I have a question mark. No, underneath the writer's name of this article, it says where it comes from. I've got a question mark about
right.
that. What does it say there, Pete?
Robert Musial.
Yeah, what
Robert
does it say?
Robert Musial from the Knight Rider newspapers.
Knight Rider?
Oh, Knight Rider.
Is it Knight Rider newspapers? Was there a Knight Rider newspaper in the 80s?
Knight Rider newspaper. Yeah, that must be like a little kind of county newspaper, surely. The Knight County or the Rider County. I saw Knight Rider and I thought, Batman, what's that about? Weird.
You've got lovely teeth now.
I do have lovely teeth now, yeah.
I had a bit of a disaster. I had braces as well when I was about 14 or 15, probably 16 and 17 actually. And then a few months after I got them removed, on my 18th birthday, I had too much to drink and I fell over on my face and knocked my teeth out. So my lovely, beautiful fixed teeth that I'd spent years having painful orthodontistry on were no more.
Chris, you're a drinky drinky folly folly over person, aren't you? I'm a drinky drinky go homey person. Like I'm a drinky drinky wait until I can get into a taxi kind of person. I'm a drinky drinky chat to the taxi driver person. You're a drinky drinky folly over person.
Yes, yes. There's my face. My face is a mess of scars.
Very different. Oh, you do have a cut on your head as well. What, you Jiminy Cricket? But you're looking good, though. You're looking tan. The last time I saw you, you're looking tan. You're looking like the video game character Max Payne. Have many people given you that lookalike? He's got a lovely beard growing, and you've got a shaved head, and you're very tanned.
A lot of people are sending me pictures of Max Payne at the moment, and I didn't understand it at first. I think you were the first person to say something, and...
Yes.
I know Max Payne as Mark Wahlberg, so...
Yes, I forgot about, Well, he had his similar troubled past when he was younger. I don't think his wife was killed by a burglar or something like Max Payne was.
But ironically, I, about a month ago, bought a shirt that is exactly the same as that shirt that he wears in the pictures that everyone's sending me. Apart from my one has critter aliens hidden all over it. It's a horror movie shirt.
Oh, is it? Right. Yeah. Okay. Nice. I like that a lot.
It's a bit geeky.
You could get away with walking around with a revolver demanding that dentists fix your teeth.
Yeah.
And your head.
That's Halloween sorted.
So I think it would be good. That's Halloween sorted. What's going to happen with the Halloween parties? Are Halloween parties happening? I'm scared there's no Halloween parties happening.
Well, I guess you can have like a Halloween party, but you can't have more than six people at it.
Have a grouse shooting one. I like combine a bit of grouse shooting and a little bit of Halloween fun. I've got another new story as well, and it's all about the little animals, the little water bears that are called tardigrades or tardigrades. Tardigrades? Tardigrades. Basically, they're like little things that live on moss and dirt. And they're very, very small creatures, and they look very, very adorable. They look like little fat bears with little claws and eight little feet.
Are they real?
Yeah. Yeah, they're real. They're like the smallest thing ever. And I think they can live in really weird places, like really sulfuric water. It's the only thing that will survive in that kind of solution, like really high sulfur content.
Because I'd never heard the word tardigrade until the new series of Star Trek. It became quite a central plot point. Was there was this creature called the tardigrade. And I thought, that's a cool name that the Star Trek people have made up for this invented creature. And then the article you sent me, the picture of it doesn't look like a real thing. It looks like a cartoon character.
It looks adorable. They're tiny little cute little bears things. But
are you telling me that's a... Oh, no. See, that's a rendering of a tardigrade. So that's someone drawing one.
That's a 3D model. Yeah, that's a rendering. That's a 3D model from Getty Images. But yeah, it's somebody... But the story goes, this company... this company have made some kind of like Christmas bauble renders of these little water bears. Large water bears the size of Christmas ornaments are on sale on like Etsy or one of those kind of like online kind of kitschy websites. And PayPal will not process any of the transactions if it's got the word tardigrade in. Now, immediately, people thought that it was something to do with the word tard, and obviously, remember when like you couldn't use the word Scunthorpe for a while because it looked like you couldn't use Scunthorpe in a database because it had the C word in it. Retard, obviously, a shortening of the word retard, which nobody uses anymore. But yeah, people thought it was originally that, but it's not actually. There's a company called Tardigrade Limited who are on the naughty list, the blacklist of doing anything in the US business-wise of the Office of Foreign Assets Controls. There's a sanctioned company who are called Tardigrade Limited. And so basically PayPal will not allow anybody to sell Tardigrade products if they've got the word Tardigrade in the actual title. So if you are thinking of making tardigrade shaped products or calling your company Tardigrade, don't do it, because PayPal will have no truck with your business. They have no business dealing with you. So just watch out, guys.
Or we need to speak to Slobodan Tesic, the arms and munitions dealer, and see if he'll change the name of his company. That might be an easy way of doing it.
It's registered in Cyprus. That's not far away. It's in Limassol. Let's go around. We've got the address here. It's got the registration number of C37878737. So we could pop over and just say hello and go, look, guys, for the sake of the water bear, for the sake of the tardigrades, just change your bloody company name, for crying out loud. If you've ever encountered a tardigrade in the wild, if you know anything that we don't know about tardigrade, which is literally everything, do get in touch. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We're going to take a short ad break and we'll get your emails in just a minute.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done and, you know, all of that stuff. I kind of stopped.
OK, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your pods.
This week we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air. It doesn't get a lot of airtime. No, it doesn't.
The Self-Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
And we're back with the wonderfully titled Christopher Tilley from the Clash of the Titans podcast. It's all about films and that, and I heartily recommend it. Luke's away. He'll be back on Monday. He's currently halfway up a mountain still. He loves a bit of Scotland as our Luke.
Oh, yeah. I like Scotland. It's beautiful, but only in the summer. I can't go near it in the winter.
Well, the rainy season's always kind of like August. Like, I can't be handling. Like, I've only ever really been sort of Edinburgh and Glasgow and a place in the middle. And Aberdeen.
Glasgow was the last place I went before lockdown. Or before COVID properly hit. I went to a horror film festival there called Fright Fest. And it was very strange. No one was sure what was coming. People were shaking hands, but weren't sure if we should be shaking hands. And I remember one of the hosts came out on stage with a face mask on, and it got a big laugh. The idea that we'd have to wear a face mask. And this, so that was in that was in February, the end of February. And of course, you know,
nice.
Who's laughing now?
Who's laughing now? Well, for the first few weeks of COVID, like, the government were just saying, don't worry with the masks. Maybe we should have adopted the masks.
Yes.
Might have flattened that curve a bit.
Fright Fest had it right.
Oi, oi, oi. What is the most iconic movie mask? Would it be the Scream mask? Would it be the Jason mask? Would it be the mask?
What's the mask?
Just the film from the mask from the mask.
Oh yes, the Jim Carrey one. I thought you were referring to a film called Mask about a young lad with a facial deformity, and I was.
Oh no, that's he's a redhead boy.
Eric Stoltz.
He's a little redhead boy.
The original Marty McFly.
Of course, would have been in Back to the Future.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I reckon the Scream one is the most iconic. Obviously, we're getting a new Scream movie coming soon, so that'll be back in the news. Because the Jason one, it's just a hockey mask, so he can't take credit for popularising that.
Did remember Casey Jones from the Turtles? Did he have a hockey mask?
I know he used a cricket bat. Yeah, because he was a hockey player.
Have a hockey mask. Was it similar to Jason? Right, okay, yeah. I see. Anyway, let's get some emails. We are terrible for not having enough time to read out some emails, but we've piled through all of the content very quickly and the content that was pre-planned anyway. So let's get to some emails. I'm going to kick off with an email here. Anonymous illegal rave whistleblower. Please keep my title anonymous, and I have done so for the first time in looking at your history. I always read out their names accidentally, and we've always got to bleep them. Please keep me anonymous as the person I found out this from listens to the show. So I don't want to look like a big grass, but I'm going to grass anyway because this is too interesting not to share. Anyway, I'm writing in after listening to your episode a few weeks back where you talked about the illegal raves going on at the moment, and they are still going on. There's not a day goes by that I don't see some Berkshire police force tweeting a picture of some illegal ravers on heat detecting drone cameras. It's all going off like a frog in a sock. A friend of mine told me about someone who'd been contacted and potentially having an illegal rave on their land. The company, in inverted commas, maybe it's Tardigrade Limited, who offered said rave, offered £1,500 to them and the promise that they would organise the whole thing with the stage, music, security, tickets, DJ and all sorts, and they will pay them the money and give them 25 free tickets for friends to attend. I don't want a bit more money than a grand and a half, to be quite frankly. 250 people apparently are going to attend overall. As part of the deal, the company signs a waiver which says that they will pay any fines if they get caught. And also there is an I wouldn't trust that promise either. And also there is an internationally renowned DJ coming to perform, all happening between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. That is all. I do have more questions, though, that I'd love to know. Travel, as you mentioned, would be a big issue. How will all these people get to a remote farm in the middle of the countryside? There's no parking, there's no local station or anything. Where do they sleep? Do they sleep? It'll be mid-September. The weather might be bad. What will they do until 2 a.m. when it begins? Is there a snack table? Do you bring your own drink? Are bucket hats required to be worn? It seems like these raves are much more well-organised than I thought, with companies setting them up, and they must be making a lot of money off the back of them. It's all very interesting. I thought you might be interested in a further peek behind the curtain in the world of rave. I won't attend, it's not for me, really. It's way too late / early. Thank you, the anonymous illegal rave whistleblower. Very interesting. I'm annoyed that I've not been invited to an illegal rave. Chris, have you ever been to an illegal rave or even just a legal rave in your past? And will you be attending one in the cold winter nights this year?
You're saying that you haven't been invited, but he does say that it's an internationally renowned DJ performing. Could that be you?
I have been known to broadcast as far as the Netherlands on a cold AM night when it's easier to transmit those AM signals. I am for pay. I am hot to trot, guys. Get in touch. Hello at openpeachshow.com. If you'd like me to attend and DJ, I have my last house move, I did throw a lot of my CDs away because they were covered in vodka and Red Bull from the last time that I DJed. So it will be Spotify only, unfortunately. Though I do have one of those little portable DJ decks that you can mix the songs with. So look, hello at lukepeachshow.com. You can only ask.
As you know, I'm a bit of an indie kid, so I wasn't a raver. I think the closest I've come to attending anything like what goes on at a rave is sort of 3 a.m. at Glastonbury or something, in some remote field with something, you know, a sound system being set up and people dancing until the early hours. I mean, our anonymous whistleblower does ask, where will they sleep? Do they sleep? I don't think he's really understanding what happens at a rave. There's a lot of drugs taken. You are definitely staying awake. There's no one sleeping at 5 a.m. So, it's an interesting experience, but not something I'm in a hurry to repeat.
No, but I could see you in a little bucket hat dancing to like a breakbeat remix. Jesus Christ, how old am I? Breakbeat remix of the Stone Roses.
Oh yeah, I'd be all over that.
All right, then let's get the next email. Simon Oak has got in touch. Chris, do you want to take this one?
I can do. Oh yes, there we go. Hello, Luke and Pete. Listening to your latest offering, you were talking about the fattest man in Leicestershire. Were you?
Yes, we were. He's a man who you see every now and again on the bus stop. For some reason, he's a famous Leicester celebrity. I think this is before they found an actual king in a car park. Big fat man.
So Simon says, I think you may be talking about Daniel Lambert, who was born in Leicester in 1770 and died in Stamford in 1809, weighing in at 52 stone and 11 pounds. At that point, he was
still older than John Tenter, the wrestler. I think he managed to get a little bit older than John Tenter, even.
At that point, he was the heaviest man in recorded history. Stamford still has a pub called the Daniel Lambert, along with several other references to his renowned fatty around the town. You're saying you've seen this person around Leicestershire, and Simon's saying he died in 1809.
I didn't see the man. I saw pictures of him, and he looks magnificent. Imagine, how old is he? 39, and he's managed to get to 52 stone. How are they even weighing that? Like, because I don't buy the 52 stone business. That's incredible.
So you've seen, what are these drawings of him, or are these photographs from the 1700s?
Paintings of him.
Okay, good, because I was slightly worried we were saying something libel about some poor man in Leicester who's got a weight problem, but
called
no.
Daniel Lambert.
Yeah. But we're talking about an old bloke who died. Okay. So
I'm just saying that it's a lot. It's a lot. 52 stone is a lot.
It sounds like if this comes up a lot on the show, maybe you need to record an episode in the Daniel Lambert pub.
Or in Daniel Lambert, his cadaver. Imagine how his bones are desiccated. with all that pressure. It must be annoying though, if competitive growth is your thing and you're 52 stone and 11 pounds, that's a shitter, isn't it? That's how high he got. Just put something in your pants, like just to weigh yourself down a bit more to get over the 53 stone mark. awful business. Hello to who have we got here? Ian. Hello, Ian. Hello, just catching up on some week old shows. That could be spelled either way. And you got me thinking, which is no mean feat. I'm in my 40s now and I'm working from home, and it's a blessing. There's no commute, there's more homes under the hammer, etc. But when I think how me 20 years ago would have coped, my life would have been so much more worse off. We were talking about the double edged sword of being able to work from home and how, you know, it's for a lot of people may not affect their mental health in a positive way, but then for others might be a better way of doing things. I met my wife in my first job after university. I started my second job when I was 24, and I still have a close group of 10 friends who bonded through five-a-side football tours to play the head office in Switzerland and many drug and misadventures in London. Likely none of that would have happened if we'd only interacted through a screen. I have no point, but I am enjoying a dog walking beer as a throwback to an old topic. Yeah, we were talking about strange different kinds of beer. Shower beer, like walkie beers, walking out to where you're going to be. Go to sleepy beers if you fancy that sort of caper. But yeah, dog walking beer. That's not one I've enjoyed myself, but I do fancy that. I do fancy a dog walker beer. That's not a bad shout, actually. Have you got a special kind of beer that you rate massively while cooking beer?
What, you have different beers for different activities?
Different kinds of different beers. You can match it up with a particular brand if you want, but it's just a different classification of beer. Shower beer, bed beer, if you're operating a threshing machine, beer, risky. But there's different kinds of beers for different kinds of things.
And what's a bed beer? I mean, are you literally talking about lying in bed drinking beer before you go to sleep?
Drinking a beer.
That is very problematic. And then are you having another one when you wake up, your second bed beer in the morning?
Exactly. One for sleepies, one for wakies.
See, I rarely have more than one kind of beer in my fridge. This would suggest that you'd have like eight different kinds of beer ready to go in your fridge at any time. Again, this sounds like you might have a problem.
Yeah, if you're having a toilet cistern beer, maybe have one less until it's not a problem. That is my solution to everything. Guys, just have one less until it's not a problem anymore. I realise that's not how addiction works, but just have one less until it's not a problem anymore. But being at home a little bit more than you'd usually be at home. Are you watching any sort of weird telly that you would not usually watch? Because obviously your job is film, so obviously you're watching a lot more films than you would usually get through, I imagine. But is there any kind of really crappy telly that you just can't get enough of?
I'll tell you what I'm watching a lot of, and it's not crap telly, or it might be. Right. Some of it is. It's this channel I discovered on the high numbers called Talking Pictures TV.
Oh, that's what my dad watches. You're turning into my dad. Oh, black and white. There was a Steve McQueen film on there last week.
Yeah, they pick up old films on the cheap and screen them. And, you know, it's not in high definition. There's some real gems on there and some absolute classics as well, like Powell and Pressburger's movies I love. But I like some of the old sort of classic British comedies. I've seen all the famous Ealing ones, but it's just some of these more obscure, very strange films. So I've just really enjoyed that of an afternoon watching a couple of old black and white films.
That make... and they were short back then, weren't they?
Oh yeah. You're not going much over 80 minutes, so it's not a whole afternoon. Enjoyable. Am I turning into your dad?
Yeah, I think you are turning into my dad. Oh, my dad just constantly basically when a man aggressively kisses a woman in one of those old films, such was the leading man would always grab the leading lady and sort of. Like sort of stoop with her and kind of quite aggressively kiss her, and my dad will send me a clip of it and go, won't get that in a film nowadays. I go, no, and it's for the better. Cinema's got better. Cinema's learned that is unacceptable. It's basically just that and cameos from Steve McQueen when he pops in on some like really, because it's Steve McQueen. Like, I love Bullet and I loved like Towering Inferno and stuff like that, but you do watch a lot of Steve McQueen and he was all just presence, wasn't he? He didn't really do much. He's a bit like who's in Blade Runner 20 whatever, Ryan
Gosling.
Gosling. Like I could watch that man take out the bins because he's just got such great presence. He doesn't really have to act at any point. Like the most amount of acting I think he's ever done is like Lars and the Real Girl or that one where he took heroin as a teacher, Bad Teacher I think it was called.
Oh God, what's it called? It's really good as well.
Film. Naughty Teacher. But yeah, like I think Steve McQueen got away with doing very little acting in this film.
He would do a lots of bits of business when you watch him. And do you know what I mean when I say bits of business?
No.
He would be fiddling with things. He would be fiddling with things.
Right.
He would be touching things. He'd be moving. And so he was all about getting the attention on him from his co-stars. And I think when he sort of announced himself on the world stage, it was Magnificent Seven. And Yul Brynner was the movie star in that, not Steve McQueen. But there's a scene where they're together where it's Yul Brynner's doing all the speaking, sitting on a stagecoach. But Steve McQueen's doing stuff with his gun, like doing little tricks. And he was really annoying Yul Brynner off set, apparently, by doing this. and then Yul Brynner got even more annoyed when he watched the film because he realised that whole scene, you're not watching him, you're watching Steve McQueen.
He's behind his back.
Yeah. Little cheeky
he's
scam.
He's doing like a Rubik's Cube. He's brought in some executive toys. He's got a little Newton's cradle that he's fiddling with. Oh, wonderful. He's got a stress ball. Oh, wonderful. Very enjoyable.
Half Nelson.
Oh, we're at half Nelson. Did you just Google that?
Yeah.
You shit. You should not be Googling anything. That's what this show is all about. Well, Chris, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for filling in for Lucky Lucky Yeremua. Luke will be back on Monday unless he rolls his ankle on his big Scottish mountain. How can people get involved with your podcast?
Clash the Titles, wherever you get your pods, or we are at Clash Pod on Twitter if you want to see what we're chatting about. And also, Pete, are you going to come and guest again? I've told you the films I want you to do.
Yes,
don't
please.
Say them because it's got to be a surprise, but will
no.
you come back?
Space Meteor Mining Boys. I want to do that film.
Aliens
I just
from Heaven.
A football film. Yeah. We did an actual feature on the Football Ramble where we did Pete's Film Club and we watched some absolute stinkers.
what was the worst one? Was it that stupid one that you told me about with Gerard Butler?
No, not Playing for Keeps, which I believe was the title of that one. I think if it wasn't Goal 3, it might have been Soccer Dog European Cup. European Pop? I think it was a Soccer Dog. Yeah, it might have been Soccer Dog where they went to Scotland. I can't really remember, but there were some pretty dreadful ones. There was a good Portuguese one that was like a parody of the Cristiano Ronaldo kind of character. Very, very bizarre. I'll have to send that your way. Diamantino or something, I think it's called. Check it out. Well worth the watch. I think it's on Amazon Prime. Anyway, check out Clash of the Titles. It's fucking brilliant. And I say so because I ruined it once by doing some football movies back in the day. But do have a listen. They're at Clash Pod on Twitter. And you can check out their podcast wherever you get your pods. If you'd like to get to choose our show, it's hello@lukepeteshow.com. We'll be back on Monday with more of this nonsense. Say goodbye, Chris Tilley.
Goodbye, Chris Tilley.
And it's goodbye from me. Chris usually isn't this polite.
Fuck off.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.